Within 5 minutes of Juno's attorney beginning her arguments in the Alaska Supreme Court, Chief Justice Dana Fabe interrupted with this question.
Given that the LBC has the discretion not to consolidate and has even the discretion whether to consider relevant information from concurring or conflicting petitions, and given that you haven't challenged the constitutionality of that regulation or even challenged the LBC's exercise of its discretion in how it proceeded, why doesn't that end the case?
There's a lot of technical legal stuff that could be unpacked in that question, but the takeaway is that Fabe was wondering out loud if Juno had a case at all. The boundary beef stems from Petersburg's dissolution as a city and reincorporation as a geographically much bigger borough in 2013. Its northern border now comes to Holcomb Bay, where Tracy and Endicott Arms empty into Stevens Passage. The usual authority on these matters, the state's local boundary commission, cut about 500 square miles of land around Tracy Arm from Petersburg's original annexation request. It was a concession to Juno, where tourism connections made it a better fit, commissioner said. But Juno wants an additional 1,500 square miles excluded from the Petersburg borough and argues it has better claims to those lands and waterways that weren't properly considered by the commission. Mead noted the commission itself supported Juno in the contested area in a boundary study last revised in 1997. The justices asked several questions trying to parse out exactly what Juno alleges the local boundary commission did wrong. Eventually, Juno attorney Amy Mead summed it up like this.
What we're saying is that the analysis that they engaged in, which is apparent from a reading of that decisional document, was constitutionally infirm. That is our argument.
She argued the analysis was weak, specifically with respect to Article 10, Section 3 of the state constitution that says, each borough shall embrace an area and population with common interests to the maximum degree possible.
Article 10 is properly understood as a rough guideline.
That's State Attorney Janelle Hafner representing the local boundary commission.
It is not a rigid blueprint. It is not a standalone fixed mandate that directs what a borough boundary must look like at any one point. Nor does it direct the manner in which the commission evaluates the decision about which boundary among competing boundaries is the best fit.
She and Jim Brennan, the attorney for Petersburg, both argued that the commission properly weighed the competing claims and acted within its authority. Brennan took particular offense to Juno's assertion that the commission limited its participation in the annexation proceedings. He noted a 58-page report by the Juno Economic Development Council.
That was considered. Petersburg rebutted it. Petersburg went through a point-by-point rebuttal of that study and also showed that Petersburg's commercial fisheries connections with the area were substantially greater.
Petersburg fishermen are responsible for more than 90% of the commercial haul from the contested area. Juno businesses and residents own most of the private land. The commission also held a three-day hearing in Petersburg on the competing annexations in 2012 that Brennan attended.
I must have been at a different proceeding than is discussed by Juno. The main question was, who's got the greater connections, Juno or Petersburg? That's what the hearing was all about. Juno brought down 10 witnesses. They had essentially a full day to present testimony on this point, and they were not precluded from presenting anything.
Justice Craig Stowers asked, if Juno prevails, what can the court do to satisfy Juno? Mead said Juno does not want to force Petersburg to revert to city status, but the court could order the commission to revisit the competing annexation claim with more evidence and more hearings. The court usually publishes its decisions within 9 months of hearing arguments. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea.